time now for us to turn to God's Word for us. Dave is going to be reading our reading from the book of Ruth, and as he makes his way forward, we will pray together our prayer for illumination. Let us pray together. Teach us your way, O Lord, and lead us on a level path. Teach us, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then we will keep them to the end. Give us understanding, and we will keep your law and obey it with all our hearts. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. I'd like to read from the scripture lesson today is from the book of Ruth, Ruth 1, chapter 1, verse 1 to 22. It's found on page 411 and 412 in your pew Bibles, and you can also follow it on the screen. This is the word of God. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why should you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought I was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to two sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law's goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything, but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the woman exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. This ends the word of the Lord.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Everyone loves a good story. The story of Ruth is a good story. We're going to spend the next 4 weeks walking through this story piece by piece. I find the book of Ruth an interesting one for a couple of reasons, and just a couple of introductory things before we get started. One is that the role that God plays in this book is very behind the scenes. There are only two instances in the entire four chapters where the action of God is mentioned. And even then, it's almost sort of a secondary action to what the primary action is going on, and that is the interrelationship between the men and women in this story. Which I find interesting because, well, aren't our lives a little bit like that as well? It's not very often that God speaks out loud and very clearly to us. I can count on no hands the number of times that God has spoken out loud to me. It's also very, very unusual for God to intervene in a way so directly in our lives that we can clearly see that it was God. There's no giant hand coming out of the sky, you know, to rescue us from a situation. And so, well, the book of Ruth, the story of Ruth and Naomi, is really our story as a people, which is why it's included in our Bible. It takes time, takes place in the time of the judges, we learn. Now, we can sometimes forget about the era of the judges. We sometimes forget that there was a time of the judges at all. In our minds, we sometimes think that the Israelites flee Egypt. They wander around in the wilderness for a little while, and then God gives them a king to rule over them. But there was a time period in between this wandering in the wilderness and King David when, quote, all the people do what is right in their own eyes. All the people do what is right in their own eyes, which doesn't sound like the world we live in at all. I mean, that's completely foreign to our understanding, right? A time and a place where everyone basically just does what they feel like? Well, it sounds exactly like the time that we live in. And there's no king. God is their king. And yet, well, they don't always follow the king. They often stray. And there's a familiar pattern that begins to emerge. It goes something like this. The people, they do what's right in their own eyes. They stray away from the law that God has given them. And then as a result of their disobedience, God sends an enemy army to come in and invade. The people suffer. They cry out to God for help. And God raises up among them a leader who helps to vanquish the enemy armies, calls the people back into relationship with God, and all is well in the land as long as that judge is living. And then the judge dies, the people forget, they do what's right in their own eyes, and the cycle continues on itself over and over and over again. And whether it's Samson, or whether it's Gideon, or whether it's Deborah, or any other number of judges in the book of Judges, the cycle repeats itself the same way. And this is the land, this is the time that Naomi and her husband Elimelech are living in. The people do what is right in their own eyes. And this time, they don't get a foreign army to invade them. Instead, the land falls into a famine. Now, the language in the book of Ruth, I should say, before we get too far into this, is all filled with imagery as well. All of the names mean something. Our children's sermon this morning, Nancy pointed out that Ruth means friendship. Bethlehem means something as well. Any Hebrew scholars in the room today? Anyone who was at the early service want to cheat and tell us what Bethlehem means? House of bread, right. Beth is house, Lechem is bread. So the house of bread. So Naomi, her husband Elimelech, their sons live in the house of bread until there's no more bread in the house of bread. There's a famine in the land. And so they pack up and they leave. They move to a place where there is bread, where there is food, except it's in enemy territory, the land of Moab. So here is this Israelite family, economic refugees, going to a foreign land, a land filled with an army that has, on occasion, gone and conquered the nation of Israel. So it should be surprising to us that a family of the house of God, living in the house of bread, would leave and go to this pagan land to find success, to find food. Well, that's exactly what happens. It would be like someone from here in America moving to Canada or something. Are there any Canadians? No? No one gets the Canadian jokes? Okay, I'll lay off. But imagine someone here losing their job and moving to a land that has long been considered an enemy of the United States, like Iran or Russia. It's almost unthinkable for us, right? You'd go someplace friendly, but they go to enemy territory. And it's while they're there that Naomi's husband, Elimelech, dies. Her two sons marry women who are from Moab, Moabites, enemies. And their names are Orpah and Ruth. And then the two sons die. And so we're left with Naomi, a widow, who is left without any children to care for her. Widowed and orphaned in a foreign land among an enemy people. And a question emerges. Where does Naomi belong? Does she belong in that place without any family left? Without a husband to work and pay the bills, will Naomi be able to survive? Will her two daughters-in-law be able to make it? And then word comes from afar. God has acted and returned the barley harvest to the house of bread. And so Naomi makes a decision along with her daughters-in-law. They're going to pack up their things. They're going to leave this place, and Naomi is going to go home. So she packs up along with her daughters-in-law, and they begin the journey back. But along the way, Naomi continues to look at these daughters-in-law of hers. And even though she loves them as if they were her own daughters, she looks on them with sadness because they remind her of all of the things that she has lost in this foreign land. She loves these women greatly, but they remind her every day of her dead husband and her dead sons. And partway down the road, she can't take it anymore. And she says to them, "You should really leave me. You should go back to your mother's house. Go back to your own families. Go back among your own people and live out your lives." The two women, they weep and declare that they will not leave Naomi. They love her. They will not leave her. You continue along the road a little bit farther. Naomi says again, "Look, I appreciate all of the kindness that you have shown to my sons, all of the kindness that you have shown to me. Now may God bless you with the same kindness as you leave my presence and go back to your families. Get married, have kids, live out your lives. Am I going to get married again? Even if I did get married tomorrow and I had kids 9 months later, would you really wait around until they were the age that they could get married? Would you really wait around that long? Don't do it. Go back home." The women, they weep again. Orpah hugs her mother-in-law one last time and sets out to return to her family. And Ruth, whose name means friendship, clings to Naomi and says to her the words that we usually hear in wedding ceremonies. "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, there I will also die, and may God punish me ever so severely if I leave your presence, if anything but death should part us." Which are wonderful words, but it's always funny to hear them spoken at weddings, because it's a mother-in-law talking to a daughter-in-law. It's like teeing the ball up for a mother-in-law joke every single time. And yet, Ruth shows her this kindness, this loyalty. The word in Hebrew, chesed. Say it with me. Chesed. If you didn't spit on the person in front of you, you didn't say it right. Chesed. It means loyalty, kindness, friendship. And in the book of Ruth, as we discuss over these next several weeks, we're going to hear that concept appear over and over and over again. Naomi asks for the chesed of God to be with her daughters-in-law as they leave her side. Ruth shows the chesed of herself, a reflection of God, to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And so Naomi and Ruth continue on down the road, and as they approach Bethlehem of Judea, some of Naomi's old friends see her coming down the road. And they shout out, "Can we believe our eyes? Is this really Naomi coming back?" To which Naomi replies to her friends, "Don't you dare call me Naomi." Naomi means one who is blessed and favored by God. She says, "Call me Mara, because God has dealt bitterly with me." Mara means bitterness. Call me Mara, she says, because I went away full and I came back empty. I went to a foreign land and God took everything away from me. Don't you dare call me Naomi. My name is Mara. And I can imagine poor Ruth standing by her mother-in-law's side as a symbol of God's favor on Naomi. And yet all Naomi can see in this instance is that God has taken everything away from her. Have you been there before, folks? Have you ever cried out to God, angry with God about something that God has taken away from you? We're going to refer to those moments as Mara moments. And it's not out of a lack of faith that Naomi cries out in this way. Naomi never loses her belief in God. She doesn't say there is no God. What she says is, there is a God and I don't like him very much. There is a God and he's really dealt me the wrong hand. There is a God and I will not praise him, for he has taken everything away from me. I think the longer we live, the higher the likelihood that we undergo a Mara moment, a time in our lives where God takes something away from us, when God deals with us in such a way that we feel slighted, we feel injured, perhaps even destroyed. Here is Naomi, who has lost her husband and her two sons, which in the society that she's living in is her livelihood and her future economic security, right? The man is the breadwinner. The children are the ones who support the parents in old age. She has no husband. She has no sons. She has no hope. She's going to have to rely on the chesed of strangers from this time forward. And yet, standing right there by her side, and because of her pain, because of her sorrow, because of her circumstances, she's really not able to see it. I don't think we can fault Naomi for that. But there's Ruth, the chesed of God, standing right next to her, ready to show God's loyalty, ready to show God's kindness, ready to be her support. And at the end of this chapter, the final words are, they returned to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Out there on the horizon, someplace, in some time, the favor of God about ready to break in. But not yet. But not yet. The text demands for us today that we not fast forward in the story. Because as God's people, we need to recognize that there are people among us who are dwelling in these Mara moments right as we speak. People who are unable to see that God could possibly be kind to them, that God could possibly look on them with favor, that God could show 1 ounce of loyalty. God has damaged them and God has betrayed them. Call me Mara, they say to us, because God has dealt very bitterly with me. For those of us who have been through our Mara moments and have survived on the other side. We take the place of Ruth in the story. Standing by Naomi's side, saying, "Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, that's where I'll die. And may God deal with me severely if anything should ever separate us." The chesed, the kindness and loyalty of God in human form. For those who are enduring their Mara moments, the rest of us become Ruth, ready to show the loyalty and kindness of God to those who are in need. All of us here today are one or the other. There are no other choices. Next week there will be a few more choices. But this week, we're either Mara or we're Ruth. We're either bitter or we're friend. We're either in need of chesed or we have been called to show chesed to another. Let's take a couple minutes of silence to reflect on where we are today and who God is calling us to be to one another. Let's pray. Lord, whoever we are in this story, whether it is we who have experienced this loss and have this bitterness in our lives, or whether we are called to be the friend, to show the loyalty and kindness that you show to us. Lord, whoever we are, remind us of your unfailing presence with us, the chesed that you visit upon us each day. Help us to be a friend to those in need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we have an opportunity to express our faith, to profess our belief, the words of the Apostles' Creed. So would you stand with me as we profess our faith together? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.